Amen. Have your Bibles this morning. 1 Chronicles 28. We're really looking at a particular word this morning. It's a word willingly. Notice if you would in 1 Chronicles 28. Now this is David speaking to his son Solomon. And you notice in verse number 9 he says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the Lord God of thy father." So first off we see there, salvation can only be accepted willingly. "And serve him with a perfect heart." So we find that serving him can only be done willingly. "And with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandings, and all the imaginations of the thoughts." The Lord knows why we do things. He knows why you came to church this morning. And the Lord says, "I want willing service. I want willing servants." You know, I've been here 31 years. I've never preached a sermon on tithing. And part of the reason is, now I've preached as we've gone through books of the Bible, tithing is a necessary part of the Christian life. But so many people say, "I don't go to church because all they talk about is money." It's not true, and I want to make sure that wasn't true. Because I wanted you to fall in love with the Lord first, and then, like when I fell in love with my wife, she got all my money. Is that correct? Okay. So fall in love with the Lord, then he gets all your money. And that's okay with me. But then you give willingly because your heart's in it. So what David is trying to tell his son, he says, "I want you to fall in love with the Lord. I want you to have a willing heart." And so I notice here, I want our children to obey their parents willingly. I want you to do your homework willingly. I want you to go to work and work willingly. I want you to come to church willingly. I want your husband and wife work together willingly. I want you to sing in the choir willingly. You know, I'm very appreciative. During COVID, Brother Nick, do we've got enough seats for everybody? Is everything okay right now? Okay. If we need to, let me know. We'll ask people to move. But before each service, because, you know, we've got probably the largest crowd we've had today. And so we're monitoring to make sure we have room for everyone to sit and still be practicing social distancing. We're trying to do that. We're trying to honor the king is what we're trying to do. Trying to honor the governor, what he said. And, you know, we're trying to keep people safe. The bottom line is we do want to do the right thing, and we do want to keep people safe as possible. I appreciate you wearing your mask. I appreciate you coming. I hate it. And one of these days, Lord willing, we'll get rid of it, and I'll be thankful for that. But until then, you know, we'll just do what we have to do. But I appreciate a willingness to do that. I from time to time, I go to different people that have got a family of three or four, and I say, "Look, would you be willing to sit in the choir tonight or today if I need it? If we have too many people that show up and there's no place to sit, still practicing social distancing, we auditorium seats 588. But we can only get maybe 250, 300. We can only get half of that by law, according to the governor. So we're, you know, 260, 280, 270, somewhere along in there. But we get up around 220, 230, and the auditorium gets real tight. And so families sit together. That helps. But if we got singles, and, you know, let's face it, I'm single, so if I'm going to sit out there, I'm going to sit by myself. I might sit with Jeremy and Mandy, but you sit with family to try to make more room for people. That's the only way it makes it work. If everyone was a single, we'd only have 95 people in here, 6 foot apart. So we measured it all out and checked it all out. So you got to have some people you go to and say, "Look, would you mind sitting in the choir? Look at all those empty seats. They're good seats, best seats in the house." Why is nobody says, "Hey, I want to go up there and sit"? Well, you know, it's a nice thing to have people that I can go to and say, "Would you mind sitting in the choir?" And they say, "No, I'll be glad to." Did you know not one person yet has looked at me and said, "Oh." But I'm afraid there are times the Lord's asked me to do something. I went, "Oh." I don't want to be that way. And I want to speak to you today about the same thing that David spoke to his son about. And I think this is the Lord's guidance to our own hearts. I want you to see four things that must be done willingly in order to be honoring to the Lord and sort of in order to be acceptable. Now, we do things to be acceptable to the Lord. Now, you know what I'm saying when I say acceptable? It pleases him. There are things that whenever Susan was here, and there'll be something that she would need, and I could do it for her. I would say, you know, is it okay with you? In other words, if she wanted me to fix her a plate or something, and I'd fix it. Not fix it sort of like my plate, you know, heaping gobs of everything. And then I put it out there, and she'd say, oh, honey, that's too much food. Anybody ever had somebody fix you a plate of food and it was way too much? Anybody ever had something happen like? Or maybe you're going to cut a piece of pie, and you're trying to watch your weight, and you're trying to keep from being too heavy, and but some things are worth it. Bluebell ice cream and pecan pie, that's always worth it. But you look at it and you say, just give me a small piece. And they give you a piece that's about a quarter of the pie. And you look at it and say, oh, thank you, but that's not really acceptable. That's not really what I wanted. You understand what I'm saying? So the goal of every Christian is, Lord, what do you want for me to do? Lord, that's what I want to do. I want to be willing to do what you want. I want to be acceptable in your sight. I wished every wife in this room would get in your heart, I want to be acceptable to my husband. I want to be willing to be acceptable. I wish every husband in this room, I could get a hold of your heart and get you to understand that. I wish you could look at your wife and say, honey, I want to do things that are acceptable in your sight. I want to be willing to do that. I wish every young person, every child, and I pray for a lot of the kids in this room, and so I pray that you have a willing heart to obey. You know, you've seen the old scenario where a teacher told a kid to sit down. He did. She went over and she said, thank you. And he said, well, I just want you to know, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That's not what I want for anybody in this room. I want you to learn to have a willing heart to be acceptable to the Lord. And that was the burden that David had for Solomon. But it's in four areas. Number one, it is that you would be accepted, that you would have a willing heart to accept the salvation of the Lord. Salvation must be done willingly. In Isaiah 1:18, he says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Now, I grew up in a Christian home, and I never really thought about it, but I'm sure my parents were praying for me to be saved at an early age. How many of you prayed for your children to get saved at an early age? Okay? Because you want them to go to heaven. You want them to know Christ as Savior. You want them to live a life with the blessing of God upon their life. And folks, today, understand this. There's a great difference between our children growing up without the Lord and growing up with the Lord. And so today, I want every person in this room to accept Christ as Savior willingly. I don't want you to be put under great pressure. I don't want you to get saved because somebody's watching. I don't want you to get saved because, you know, I've prayed for you. And if you knew that, and nobody knows that because I don't spread around who I'm praying for, but I have this long list on my prayer sheet that I'm praying for people to be saved. And so all I'm saying to you today is this, salvation cannot be done coerced. You can't come to this front and say, well, my wife really wants me to be saved, or my parents really want me to be saved, so I'll get saved today. That won't work. You know why? Because it's between you and the God of heaven. It's a personal decision. That's the reason the Lord says, come now, let you and I reason together. If you've got sin, which you do, though your sin be as scarlet, be it red like crimson, said, I'll make it white as snow. But you got to come to me. No one gets saved unless they come willingly to the Lord. And so you and I have to learn that there are kids that I know, we've had camps before, and maybe two young people came to get saved, and a third one was there, and they didn't want to be left out. And so they came and just said, and went through the motions. Anybody ever heard of that? Anybody ever heard of that? Okay, it's all over. I just don't want to be a stick in the mud, so I'll go and get saved too. You can't get saved that way. You can only trust Christ as Savior from a willing heart. Number one, you realize that if you don't get saved, you have to pay for your own sin. There's only one place for that. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. God didn't make hell for one person in this room. Matthew 25:41, God made hell for the devil and his angels. They tried to take over heaven. God kicked him out and said, look, I'm going to make a place for you. And it's the most awful place you could ever imagine. It's a place called hell. And he said, that's where you're going. And by the way, Satan doesn't run hell, doesn't manage hell, is not there today and is as far away as he can get. In Revelation 20:1, it says that the angel has to chain the devil in hell for 1,000 years because he will not go willingly. But you and I, do you understand? There are some people going to hell willingly because they like something else better. You know, they just don't want to submit themselves. They don't want to humble themselves. Folks, you cannot get saved unless you humble yourself before the great God of heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you this. There will come a day, Romans chapter 14 says, when every knee will bow. Everybody in this room. Saved or lost. The difference is, when the judgment comes, those that have put their faith and trust in Christ willingly. Lord Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin? I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm sorry. Will you save me? The Lord says, okay, and he writes her name in the Lamb's Book of Life and blots out all of our sin against our name. Now, we don't deserve that, but that's why he came to the Calvary. That's the reason he came to the cross, was to pay our debt of sin. But you cannot get saved for somebody else. You cannot get saved to please someone else. You cannot get saved to get somebody off your back. You cannot get saved for any other reason other than to be acceptable to Jesus Christ and come willingly with your sin in your hand and your heart and say, Lord, I am a sinner and I am sorry for my sin. And I want you to come into my heart and save me and forgive me. When I die, I want to go to heaven and be with you. That's the only way you can get saved. That's the way everyone gets saved. Jesus said to his disciples, you know, don't prevent the children from coming to me, because he says that's the only way anybody gets to heaven is with a child's heart. A child's heart is trusting. It's yielded. It's simple. It doesn't look at all the different ramifications of life. It doesn't look at all the science books and say, well, you know, I don't know about this or I don't know about that. But, you know, it's kind of funny to me, the Big Bang Theory. How many of you were taught the Big Bang Theory? I like that illustration. How many of you taught the Big Bang Theory? Raise your hands all over, okay? I see hands all over. It was in our books. I remember it was in my science book, Big Bang Theory. And, you know, as we talked a few weeks ago, nothing has ever happened like that. Never. There's never been a firecracker that blew up and there was a mouse that ran out. There's never been an explosion of a building and a better building came from it. There's never been an explosion of any kind and something good came of it. There's never been a bomb fall from a sky, from an airplane that landed on this earth and blew up, and something good came from it. It's never happened. Why do we think now, by billions of years, that we all came from a Big Bang? It makes no sense whatsoever. And yet I was taught that, and you were taught that many times. And so we look at it back up and say, if you want to believe that, okay, but it's going to get you in hell. You have to come to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. Would you forgive me? So you only can get saved willingly. And I would urge you today, if you don't know you're on your way to heaven, come willingly. Forget anybody else who's in the room, because you won't make it to heaven if you keep putting it off. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Who's promised tomorrow? What is your life? Is it even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away, James says. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, saith the Lord. Job 22:21. So you and I have to understand, in Isaiah, he finally says, look, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. I want to save you, but would you come willingly? No one ever got saved by being forced into it. Everyone makes a personal choice. But number two, you don't make sacrifices except willingly. If you have your Bible, I want you to notice, take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. I want you to see this, Hebrews chapter 13. Sacrifices. Now, we may look at sacrifices a little different after this verse, but notice Hebrews chapter 13 in Hebrews chapter 13. And notice with me, if you would, verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Did you know that praising the Lord is a sacrifice? You know why? Because you have to give him the credit that we want. So this, it's a sacrifice to give the Lord praise. But he only accepts praise willingly. How many of you wives would enjoy it if your husband, you fixed a good meal today and, you had some friends and family over and they were all eating, and pretty soon somebody piped up and said, "Man, this is a great meal, did a great job." And you as the husband say, "Yeah, I agree." Would that make a lot of difference to you? It'd do more disappointment than anything else. So the sacrifice of praise always has to be done willingly. You have to want to be acceptable to somebody. You have to want to please somebody. You have to want to encourage somebody, lift somebody up. Look at the next phrase. He says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. We're always supposed to be praising the Lord, thinking about things that he has done for us. But you can only offer a sacrifice, something that costs you something, willingly, or it's not acceptable to the Lord. Notice, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And notice the next phrase. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So, look, doing right is a sacrifice. Because you have to turn your back on doing evil. It's a sacrifice. And he says, look, that's pleasing to the Lord. But you can only do it and please the Lord willingly. There's two reasons that somebody does something. Love and fear. So when you grow up with a child, you teach them to stay out of the street out of fear because they're going to be in trouble. Or to clean up the room because they're going to be in trouble. Because they're too young to understand all of the dangers of cars in the street. And so you say, do not go in the street. You draw that line on the curb. Don't get near the curb. And so you train your children out of fear. Oh, I don't want dad to be angry with me. I don't want to be in trouble. And so you train them with fear. But then there's a point in time when they're 12, 13, 14 years old where that changes to where they begin to get their will into it, and it's not fear anymore. It's, I want dad to be pleased with me. I want mom to be pleased with me, so I'm not going to go in the street. Now, obviously, as you begin to make decisions, you begin to think about things and begin to drive. Okay, you can drive crazy or you can drive well. And even if your parents are not in the car with you, but one way you do it because I want my parents to be pleased. Or you can drive that way or fear of getting a ticket. The Lord says, I am only pleased when you drive or when you work or when you do right willingly. When you do what you do because you want to please me. And folks, today, love your wife willingly. Love your husband willingly. Love your parents willingly. Love going to school willingly. Enjoy your job willingly. Look, we're Christians. We've got it won. We've got a home in heaven around the corner. And all we've got to do is just live right in this life to please the Lord. You don't even have to live right to get to heaven. You know what he said? I don't want you to have to do anything because you have to. So he bought and paid for your soul for free and says, now will you live for me willingly? Folks, we have the greatest God in all the world. If you go to any other church, I mean, if you're a Buddhist or a Hindu or you're a Muslim or whatever, you have to do certain things or you're not going to make it. Not Jesus. He said, all I want is your willing sacrifice. So that's the reason why you put money in the offering plate. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn over to 1 Chronicles 28. Look at 1 Chronicles 28. Excuse me, 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 9. We'll look at verse 6 first. 1 Chronicles 29:6. Notice what he says. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds and of the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. And notice, if you would, then verse number 9. Then the people rejoiced. Now the leaders offered willingly. And then notice, if you would, in verse number 9, then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. Now, a perfect heart, if you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, because we've seen that word perfect heart twice. Turn to 2 Kings, if you would, chapter 8, verse 61. Notice, if you would, I said 2nd, it's 1 Kings. 1 Kings 8, 61. Notice this, if you would. 1 Kings 8, 61. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about offering a sacrifice and how it's acceptable to God. Notice verse number 61. Let your heart, therefore. Now in verse 60, he says, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. So he said, so the whole world knows that there's a God in heaven. He said, I want you as my children. Let your heart, therefore, because I want everyone to know, because I want people to know that I love them and I want them to go to heaven and I want to provide for them. Notice he says that all the people of the earth may know, verse 60, let your heart therefore. So he's counting on you and I to do the right thing. Let you and I, notice verse 61, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at that day. So if you remember, back in our original text, he said, son, I want you to walk willingly with a perfect heart. So what's a perfect heart? Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Well, I'll change my vocabulary. Let me ask you a question. I was talking with a neighbor the other day. And he was upset about something, not to do with me, thankfully. And he started letting a string of curse words go out. I'd never heard that before from him. I was kind of shocked. What would you think if I just maybe cursed two or three times now? What would you think about me? Brother Joe? Okay. Lose a lot of respect. But what would you think about my love for him? So how can you curse out your husband or your wife and impress them with your love for him? How can you get your children to fall in love with your God if you use the wrong language and they hear it? Do you understand today that in order to be pleasing in his sight, you have to walk with a perfect heart willingly? You have to want to do what's right. Notice the phrase here, verse 61, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God. Now, in order to do that, it's a sacrifice to confess your sins daily. It's a sacrifice to try to do the right thing. I mean, it's a sacrifice to say, Lord, were my thoughts right today? Lord, I bring you every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. He said, look, I want you to think right too. I want to bless you. You're my children. I love you. I watch when you sit down. I watch when you stand up. I know where you are 24/7. I'm in love with you, Dave Pittman. Will you serve me willingly? I'm afraid there's a lot of young people that develop a cold heart because they feel like they have to do right. There's a lot of cold marriages because somebody has to stay in it because, well, I made a promise 21 years ago, 35 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. I've been to some pretty cold 50th anniversaries. And I said, if that's what marriage is, I don't want any part of it. But I've also been to some very sweet ones where it's a willing sacrifice for each other, where they're thoughtful of each other all the time. There's a willingness. But the greatest marriages that I've ever seen are those where they love the Lord so much that they want to treat their mate right, and they have a perfect heart before the Lord, and so they're desperate to make sure they don't do anything to displease their mate. Where are those kinds of husbands and wives? Where are those kind of children? That they don't care what the other kids do. I'm not going to take drugs. I'm not going to run my parents down because I love my parents. I want my parents to know that I'm proud to be in their family. And I want to honor the name of Pittman. I want to honor that name. Where are those kinds of Christian young men, young ladies? Look, you're going to stand before God. Everybody in this room is going to stand before God and bow the knee. The question is, are you going to do it willingly? And the question is, are we going to be acceptable in his sight? So you can only get saved willingly. You can only make sacrifices willingly. I mean, if you came and made an offering today, you'll notice, look back over at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 9, he says, "Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord." This is 1 Chronicles 29, 9. He said, they rejoiced because they were able to offer willingly. In other words, they weren't forced into it. They were offered willingly. Did you know this? The Lord says, look, I want you to give to me, but I want you to do it willingly. You love your wife, and you want to go buy a new diamond necklace for her. But it's different if she's demanded it, and you acquiesced and said, okay, here's your necklace. It's not the same. Rather than if you went out and you said, I got something for you. I wanted to give you this. And you saw it and said, oh my. It's a willing gift. These people said, we were able to give money willingly. And it rejoiced our hearts. That's the only kind of money God wants. You know what? Listen to this. I don't want your money in the offering plate at Temple Baptist Church if you're coerced to give it, because there's no reward for it in heaven. Jesus said the Pharisees, they stood on the street corners, and they prayed publicly, and he says they got their reward. I want you to stand before the Lord and have blessings and rewards and benefits all over for what you've done. So I want you to learn to give willingly, because God will bless you if you do. Oh, I can't tell you necessarily how he's going to do it. Maybe he blesses you with a sweet home. Maybe he blesses you with a sweet job. Maybe he gives you a raise, a bonus. I don't know. But God can do anything. I just know this. If you go through life saying, Lord, I'll give it to you here, it's not the same as here. Learn to give your sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving willingly. Pray before your meal willingly. Do you realize God gave it to you? Oh yeah, well, Pastor, I went and earned it. And whose air did you breathe to do that? Well, I earned it. I got up in the mornings and I forced myself to get out of bed. And I got my best friend in high school is now in a hospital room. He's had a stroke and he can't speak and his left side doesn't work. He can't get out of bed. Well, what happens if God says that's okay to Satan to you and he gives you an eye stroke? And then what? All of a sudden now we can't. And now we realize everything is a gift from God. Serve him willingly. Number one, you must trust him for salvation willingly. You must give the offer of sacrifice willingly. And number three, we've got to serve him willingly. Notice, if you would, in 1 Chronicles 29, look down in verse number 14. Look at this verse. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So how is it we have the privilege of being able to give? Only it's because you've given to us, so we want to be willing to give it. You know, service is to be done willingly. I want the ushers to do it willingly. I want them to have their hearts into it. I want them to notice when people need a place to sit. I want them to notice when something is needed and a person needs something. Where's the restroom? I want them to be able to help them. In other words, I want their heart to be in. I want Brother Brandon to lead the music willingly. I want the pianist. Look, we have a chart where people play the piano. I don't want it to be, oh, it's my Sunday. I don't want it to be that way. I want it to people say, oh, I get to play today. I don't want you to say, oh, it's Sunday again. I got to go to church. I want you to come serve willingly. I want you to sing willingly. I don't want you to feel like you got to sing. Folks, that's what makes life miserable. Look at it, the privilege. And he says, look here, David says, I can't believe we get to give to you, Lord. I cannot believe that the privilege is there for us. I can't believe all we've gotten, all we've had, that you've been given to us. He says, and who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer? Do you realize service is you giving yourself to the Lord? You giving your time to the Lord? I want you to understand something. Nobody in this room is given more than 24 hours in a day to do anything with. But when we stand foot inside heaven, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have a lot more rewards than others. Why? Because they served willingly. Lord, I want to do this for you. Lord, I want to be a blessing for you. Lord, I want to make a cake and turn it and take it over to my neighbors. Lord, I want to help somebody. There are people in this room that give me money from time to time in an envelope. It's cash money. I take it over and give it to the ushers and they post it to their account and I'll take that money and give it to somebody that needs it. And you know what? They say, Pastor, don't tell them who I am. I don't want them to know. I want you to understand something. That willing help. And there are people looking at me and say, oh, thank you so much. But I can't come to you guys and say, hey, I know somebody needs $100. I know somebody needs $200 or $300 for this or that. I can't come to you and say, hey, would you give it? Then it's not willingly. You might give it willingly, but I don't want to have to do that. I want the Holy Spirit to be able to touch your heart and say, Dave Pittman, yes, Lord, willingly. I want to be acceptable to you, Lord. I don't want you to have to jerk the reins. I grew up in Oklahoma. Every summer, I would go, and I had a horse named Mitzi Miss. She was a beautiful sorrel horse with a blaze down the front. And she was just a great horse in the sense that very obedient, very willing to listen. And how many of you know what barrel racing is in a rodeo? How many know what barrel racing is in a rodeo? They put a clover leaf, they put three barrels out there, and you race the barrels around there and see who can do it the fastest. And so usually the girls do the barrel racing. They leave the bullfighting to the dumb guys. That's what they normally do. And so we ride the bulls and like an idiot, you know, and they ride the barrels, which is a lot smarter. And so, you know, I remember I got my horse and my grandfather had three barrels set up out in the, and whenever the watermelon patch was done. And so I tried to ride the barrels and I learned to ride the barrels and I'd ride the horse with the reins. And, you know, there are three types of ways you can ride. Number one, you can ride with a bridle. Now, a bridle's got a bit in it. The bit's got a hook in it in the mouth. Okay, so that when you pull back on the bridle, it mashes the tongue of the horse. So they have to do that. 1,500-pound animal will do whatever because you've mashed their tongue. You pull back on it, they'll stop. It's called a bridle. And if you're smart, you'll never get on a 1,500-pound animal without a bridle. But they also have a halter. And I've jumped on my horse before, got on a halter, but you don't have any control. Now she has to be participant for her to stop and go left or right. Because there's nothing you've got control over this 1,500-pound animal. But then there's this time, and this is what I want to be like. I could have no bridle, no reins. I could just sit up on her. And I could go, and she'd start walking. And I'd go to the barrels, and I'd press on the right knee, And she'd start turning right, going around the barrel. And we go to that other barrel, put on the left knee. She'd go on that barrel. I said, this is cool. And I'd pat her on the neck and say, good girl, Mitzi, good girl, Mitzi. And then I'd go to the final barrel and turn around and I'd goose her and say, let's go. And she'd take off running. And then I'd say, okay, stop. Now, what do you do for stop? I didn't know what that was, so I'd both knees. And she stopped. I said, man, this is the best horse. You know what? That is what I want to be like. The Holy Spirit just touches me. And I willingly obey. In anything he wants me to do. If it's to preach. If it's to cut the bushes out in the front. If it's to talk to a lawyer. If it's to witness to somebody. If it's to pass out a tract. If it's to pray for somebody. Everything I do, I want it to be willingly. One day, it had rained, poured down rain. And I rode my horse every day. I had a purpose in my heart to ride my horse every day. And so I was not feeling well, so I went to the barn and got it. I didn't want to put the bridle on her, and so I had a halter on her. Now, I told you a halter has no bridle, so you don't have as much control or any control. You can pull on it, but the horse is stronger than you are, and nothing's going to happen if the horse doesn't want it to. They have to participate with their will. And so I remember riding the horse and went down to the house, and I just got the feeling sick of something. I'm going to go back home. And I turned the horse toward the barn. Anybody here ever done that? Well, when I did, she took off like a rocket. I said, oh, no. And she's running. I said, she doesn't realize it's been raining and it's muddy. And we were coming to the fence of the barn and it's going. And you know what I got on? I got shorts, no saddle. I'm bareback and a bridle and a halter. I have no control. I'm totally at Mitzi's mercy. And so we're racing toward the barn, and I said, Mitzi, slow down! And she doesn't. And then all of a sudden, I'm pulling on the halter, and I said, oh, my goodness. So I just locked my legs, and I went like that, and I closed my eyes, and I kept them closed. And then all of a sudden, I remembered, stop moving. And I felt a little movement like this, and looked down, her ears are right there. My legs were locked like that, and I was hanging over the fence. And there was mud everywhere. She had tried to stop and stopped just before the fence. Her chest was pressed up to the fence. Her head was over there. And I wanted to kill that horse. She scared me to death. I wonder how many times the Lord's wanted to kill me. Because he's trusted me with a bridle. No. Was just a halter. No, just a touch. And I got stubborn. And I said, I want to go home. I don't want to do that. Today, are you serving willingly? Or are you serving because you have to? Have you trusted Christ and received salvation willingly? Are you making any kind of a sacrifice, praise, thanksgiving, offering, willingly? I just remind myself the other day. Now, that was 50 years ago. Well, it was about 55 years ago. And I think my mind, Mitzi's still around. She's been in a glue factory for a long time, I'm sure. But I just don't think of it that way. So I think of her as a sweet horse that would do anything I asked willingly. Today, won't you be like that? Lord, I'm all yours. I'll serve you willingly. You want me to love my wife? I'll love her willingly. You want me to love my husband? I'll love him willingly. You want me to obey my parents? I'll do that willingly. My heart, I want it to be perfect before you. Today, do you have a willing heart? Have you accepted him as Savior? Are you making sacrifices that please him? Are you serving him because your heart's in it? Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. I'll ask Brother Brandon to lead us in a verse. Of Have Thine Own Way, Lord, page 366. Now, folks, today, look. After a message like this, we're only going to play two verses. So if you need to come to this altar and talk to the Lord today, Lord, I've been mistreating my wife or my husband. I haven't been doing the things that my parents don't know about. Lord, I'm sorry. Folks, it's between you and him. He knows your thoughts. He knows your attitude. He knows your intent. Won't you serve him willingly? Won't you obey him with a perfect heart? Willingly. When we pray and then stand to sing, could I urge you just, and maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, if I died today, I know I wouldn't go to heaven. Or I don't know I would go to heaven. Would you come to me? Let me help you get it settled forever. I'm not going to come get you. It's your choice. But oh, the Lord loves you. And he's going to touch your heart. The Holy Spirit's going to touch your heart right now. Because that's him. He loves you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to come and be with him in heaven for all eternity. He loved you enough to send his only son to die in your place. How much does he love you? It's inexplicable. As the song says, to write the love of God would drain the ocean dry of ink. So today, could you step out and say, I'm willingly going to trust Christ as my Savior. Today, I'm willingly going to offer praise to you, Lord. Thanksgiving to you, Lord. I'm willingly, Lord, going to give my offerings. I'm going to give more, Lord, because you've been better to me than I deserve. And I'm going to serve you with a willing heart. In your name, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to hearts today, that you'd help us to do everything in this life with joy and rejoicing and willingly, that it would be acceptable in your sight. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, please. Page 366, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, if you need to come this morning. If not, you sing the song. You see it on the screen. Let's sing it together. You come today. Leave with a perfect heart.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way.
Just two verses, that's it. No one's any farther than 50 feet from heaven.
Mold me and make me after thy
50 feet from a perfect heart.
While I am waiting, yield head and still.
Last verse, don't miss the chance.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Well, thank you for listening. I want to encourage you next week in Sunday school. I want people to master money. And money not master them. And we're going to work on that. I'll give you some principles and give you some thoughts about how to master money next week. And it'll be a blessing to you if you come and listen willingly. Let's bow forward to prayer and be dismissed. Father, today, thank you for the privilege that you've given to us to serve you willingly, to obey you willingly. Lord, you didn't put your thumb on us and force us to. You could have. Lord, you could even put a bridle in our mouth and made us do right. But Lord, you took the bridle off, the halter off, and said, will you serve me willingly? Lord, I pray you'd bless us today. Help us to serve you because we love you. Give us traveling mercies. In your name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed today. Front half, come out the front of the auditorium, and the back half, go out the back if you would, or just be patient in the front. And slip out the back too. Lord bless you today. Thank you for coming.